Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 394, Leaving the Sand in the Dust. How are you folks doing? I trust you're having a grand week. I appreciate you stopping by, taking a little time to listen. You know, the Moose Podcast, you guys have crept me up further and further. Not that I have any sights on any particular number, but the more folks that I could reach, the better, I think. I got something to offer, and I really appreciate you telling your friends, go listen to the Moose Podcast. Hey, you guys really lit up last week with my interview or conversation with Jamie, the eagle-eyed girl. Yeah, she's such a spark. Love her. And her dad and mom, they are just great people. And I am tickled pink. The response that she brought out and you folks, great, great emails. So thanks so much. One common question, though, why am I not doing more interviews? That's really a very valid question. At, I guess in large part because I just have a hard time just reaching out and asking people to do me that favor. So going to try to get past that, get some more to you. I appreciate the encouragement after last week. Gives me more fuel for the fire. In fact, I've got some more things coming out. So be watching that YouTube channel and my Instagram feed. Going to be doing some new things. I haven't seen other folks do them. Doesn't mean it's going to be the thing, but it's a simple goal. Help you folks, as always, make more of your time in the field and coming back with the images to tell your story. Want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. That's right, bedfords.com. Those folks, you've got an event coming up here shortly. In Little Rock, you've got... almost daily free classes at the Bedford stores because they have multiple stores. That's why it's called Bedford's. Inside those brick and mortar, you're going to find some of the finest folks in the industry. They just can't help you enough. And that's what I love about Bedford's. They're going to get you that gear you want at the price that fits your budget. And they're going to help you make the most of that gear before, during, and after the purchase. And when you head to the store, head to the website, and you use that old MOOSE discount code, you're going to find the price dropping after you check out. And you're going to say, wow, that's really real dinero I just saved, not just a couple pennies. That's a lot. So head to bedfords.com, tell them I sent you. Whether you have questions or gear that you want to buy, they are the best. And in the process, thank them for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Leaving the sand in the dust. I wish I could take credit for this week's title, but it came from James. Who saw my post a few days ago. He said, and I'm quoting here, "You put $20,000 in the sand, you are nuts," with more exclamation points than I could count. Yeah, James, you could say I'm nuts because I've been doing that since the days of film. Back then it was even... it was a real challenge because every 36 exposure, you had to make sure your hands were super clean, no salt residue, nothing on them, because you had to change a roll of film. So that's the one big thing that really, you know, when it comes to leaving the sand in the dust, is really important to do. You've got to make sure that, you know, that film had no sand in the film gate, or else everything would be scratched and all your efforts would be shot. As in shot to hell, not as in exposed. But a number of you, and I appreciate you reaching out, asked just what is it that, why do I, in so many words, risk so much money to go down low? And that is truly a really great question. But before I get to that answer, I need to set the stage first. So I'm going to do the old TV thing. I'm going to leave the good part to the end, so you have to listen in between. The only thing is, I don't have commercials. So there are basically two facets to photographing birds or critters on the sand. Got down with tortoises. Rattlesnakes, yeah, I didn't ever get down with them, but desert sand, beach sand, it's basically the same. And what you have happening are two things that you got to remember, that if these two elements don't work for you and your style of photography, then you can just click stop on the podcast once I mention them, because they don't fit your style of photography. But the bottom line is, you have, I'm going to pick on shorebirds, a group of birds that for the most part, especially in us in the lower 48, when we see them, they're in their winter drab clothing, what many people call LBJs, little brown jobs. That's because basically their coloration in the winter is brown and gray. And when you put that on a background such as sand, which is also brown and gray for the most part, they tend to blend in. The next thing that happens is that they all have the same relative size visually in the view, in the final photograph, when you're photographing them from eye level, shooting down on them against that sand, because they kind of blend in. Scale is kind of lost. So you've got that first natural camouflage, which is why they molt their brilliantly gorgeous spring plumage for the wintertime when we see them, because in the summertime, they're up in the Arctic. And it's hard to believe, but that crazy plumage they have in the springtime, they totally blend into all the mosaic of colors that the tundra affords them for camo. So that's the first reason why I am going down low. The second reason, is the same word or issue is the background. But when you go down low, and I'll get to how low here in a second. When you get down low, whether you're shooting at F8, which is probably my most common f-stop that I use when I'm doing beach panning, or you go down to 16 or 22, whatever you know your lens goes down to, no matter how much you go down, when you're down flat on the sand, the sand behind that bird is gonzo. It's obliterated. It's just this wash of color. There's no detail at all. So the first thing that happens is you smack the viewer right between the eyes with your subject. And the next benefit of going down low is the fact that now we do have a little bit of sense of scale. It's a little hard to understand if you haven't done it, but if you go down low, you've got basically what I think of cotton balls on toothpicks running around in front of you, right? We call them shorebirds, the little guys. And when you focus on the eye, right, because that's where we have to photograph as wildlife photographers, on the eye. And I'm at F8 because I want to get the eye, most of the head and the breast and a little bit of the wing, and then the rest of the body can go out of focus. When you do that, when you look and you ignore the bird, but you look at where it's standing on the sand, you're going to see this little band of focus. This little band of focus, that's your plane of focus. And you could increase your f-stop to 16 or 22, but you'll see that band of focus barely changes as you increase your depth of focus. For two reasons. One, because you're so physically close to that subject. And two, you're using a telephoto lens with that very narrow angle of view. So that combination, you can't help but see the subject, but then you get a feeling for its size because you have all the little small reference points in that band of focus that the mind latches onto, and it sees a seashell or a rock or some vegetation, mine instantly says, oh, it must be this big. So that's the huge advantage of going down low and, you know, basically leaving the sand in the dust. You're eliminating that sand as a distracting element of one that's, you know, allowing the birds to use their camouflage to fade into that sand. We're leaving that sand totally in the dust. It's and there's one side benefit to this whole thing that it's hard to really describe until you actually do it. But damn, it's fun. I mean, I'm sure somebody looking at this big old guy, you know, laying on the sand and it's wet and his clothes are soaking wet and the sand is sticking and it's like, you look at the person, and I'm talking about myself, of course, you know, that beach whale looks really kind of stuck. And when you go down, you don't have a lot of movement, like if you're standing on your feet. But when you get down there, the first thing you notice is the birds stop caring about you. You know, as you walk up, they're kind of like moving away. You walk a little bit closer, they move away. Once you get down there flat, I'm here to tell you, more time than not, the birds are closer than your minimum focusing distance, which as far as I'm concerned is a good problem to have. Okay, so that fun factor is the third silent, huge benefit of leaving the sand in the dust. Now, what's the whole process behind it? So we start off with the gear. You have your telephoto lens of preference, whatever it happens to be. Mine is the 600 F4 TC. And I have mounted on it most of the time a 1.4 teleconverter, external one. So I'm shooting at 840 when I'm on the sand. Because once you're on the sand, there is no way to add or subtract a teleconverter. The sand itself, you just, at least I don't, take the chance of it getting into inside the workings of the camera, a teleconverter, anywhere. So I go down with that 1.4 external already attached. Then I have the ability of going and flipping and engaging the internal 1.4, which gets me at almost 1600 millimeters. So I go from 840, almost 1600. And, it's powerful. We talk about these little guys. You know, keep in mind that a sanderling, which is probably the most common bird still on all the coasts, but their numbers are way down. But anyway, you talk about them, they are smaller than your fist. They're smaller than your fist. They're a little bit bigger than a tennis ball at best. And they get smaller than that with Western and Lee sandpipers, what have you. But you need all that horsepower, and you want them physically close. So by going down, we get physically close, we get the image size, we get the left-out background. So that's my basic rig, and I'm shooting now the Z9. I've shot the Z9, the D6, the Z6-2. I mean, every main body I've used, I've taken down to the sand level. Now, am I nuts for doing this? There is always a risk, no matter what you do, whether it's beach panning or shooting in the snow, that your gear might take a hit. Knock on wood, I have never had that issue for a number of reasons. The first is that, engage the brain. And if you've spent any time at the beach, when I grew up, you know, surfing all the time, laying on the beach, that's what we did in Southern California. So you know that sand sticks to you, sticks to your clothing. So when you get up, as you physically get up off the sand, you know that the sand, because of gravity, is going to do what? It's going to go down, and if there's wind blowing, it's going to go with the wind. So one of the main things that you think about when you go down to do this is, what's your strategy to get back up? You make note of that sand, or that wind, I should say. Make note of that wind. So you're going to go down, and if you look at the picture I posted last week, you can see that there's a Frisbee, And that Frisbee is there so I can slide the rig around in the sand very easily. You've got in the Visual Echoes panning plate. That's what's holding the gear, the rig stable in the sand. And then personally, I just have the Zanelli foot on the Z600, and then I'm shooting that low. I want to be as low as possible. So first thing is when you get up and you're in that position, you don't use your hands. You don't use your hands to lower yourself into the sand. And most importantly, you don't use your hands to get up out of the sand. So I tell everybody to start practicing this at home in the carpet before you even get to the beach. Literally, it's not a normal way of doing things because you're going to be using your elbows, which means you have to have developed some arm strength, a little bit of stomach strength, because you're going to look at the way the wind is blowing. And if it's blowing so when you get up, it's going to blow anything on you, on your camera gear, you literally scoop back. You use your knees and you do this reverse back crawl on your elbows and knees, and you go backwards 6-8 feet. So when you stand up, the real simple thing is that the wind isn't blowing any sand off you under your gear. That's really important. That's one of the big essential things that, you know, if you're going to take anything away from this, that's what you've got to do. Now, when you go to the beach or on the desert floor and you see your subject, you want to physically go down well outside that critter's comfort zone, way past, you know, so let's just say imaginary, the critter is at, let's say 30 feet, you know, at 30 feet, they start moving away from you. So that means that you don't go down to the sand any closer than 60 feet. And you go down and then you slowly do this funny shuffle on your knees, looking very carefully for any kind of seashell that's going to go into your knee. Some folks wear the Carhartt pants. They have the built-in knee pads, which is a smart thing to do. And you do this slow, very slow approach to the point where you say, okay, now's the time where I want to go down flat. And if some people have their camera rig higher from the sand than I do, because I'm basically as low as you can get. If you have, you're up kind of high, then you can shoot from just your knees and your elbows. You don't have to go down completely prone position. But I still don't like that much depth of focus in the background. But you're going to slowly go, you can put your rig in front of you, and you put it in front of you far enough, again, looking at that wind and the sand, because the process of going down, you can kick up sand, especially if there's any kind of breeze. The sand goes right to your gear. Then you go use your elbows. You don't use your hands, and you go down in a prone position. Then you can either pull the camera back to you or you slide up to the camera, whichever you want to do. Now, you have to keep in mind that anything in your front pockets of your shirt, your pants, going to get wet at the very least. So often I will have a small little fanny pack, and my fanny pack will be things like my wallet, my car keys, because you don't want to lose those. The caps for the tail converter, just in case, you know, I want to stand up, do some hand-holding and panning shots of birds in flight. And then and the iPhone will be in that fanny pack as well. And then in my back pocket, so I can easily access it, is a clean, clean white towel that I can use. Because there are going to be times where even, you know, let's say you're shooting and you all of a sudden turn the camera to go vertical. And you've got your eye against that viewfinder as you do it. Well, at least for me, as I go vertical, one hand's going to be at the bottom of the camera, and I use my hand to protect the camera, keep it out of the sand, which means if there's a little rise in that sand, that my hand will get sand on it. So the first thing I do is I will wipe my majority of the sand off using the side of my sides of my torso and the shirt there. Then I'm going to use that white towel to clean them thoroughly, so I don't get any sand on the gear. Now, And after that, you just have fun. You shoot, you shoot, you shoot, have a ton of fun. Now, what happens if you get sand on your gear? You're going to use that clean white towel, and you're going to wait. You're going to let that sand sit there, depending on how warm it is and how humid it is. But you're going to let the air do as much as can for transpiration to get rid of that stickiness of the sand, and then you don't wipe. Just like when you have moisture on your lens, you don't wipe. When you have sand on your gear, you're going to kind of like do the old gym room shower, snap the towel kind of thing, and use that towel to kind of snap that sand off. You don't want to wipe it off. And that's basically it. So there should be no scariness in this for you. It's kind of simple. One thing I remind you, though, is when you get done with your shooting, you're going to go back and, of course, enjoy all those great images you shot. But you've got a couple of things to think about. Number of things like, if I'm staying at a lodge or a hotel or something, when I first walk in the door, camera bag goes as far away from the door as possible, and I stay glued to that front door. And that's where I take off my shoes and sandy clothes so the sand doesn't migrate into the room with me. Because sand is, it just takes one particle of sand to ruin your day with camera gear. So then I leave it all there. And if I've bathed myself in sunblock, I'm going to take a shower, get that stuff off because you're not supposed to keep it on. Get any sand that might be still stuck to my forearms or my knees or calves. I want all that sand off. Then I'm going to go in and take the camera gear, and I'm going to treat it just as if I'm coming in from a minus 40 snowy day. I'm going to get the gear out. I'm going to put a clean white towel on top of it, let it come to room temperature. And then I'm thoroughly going to clean it because when you're down low, there is so much salt moisture that's collecting on every surface, camera barrel, elements, lens coat. You want that to thoroughly dry. And most people, a lot of time, will crank up their air conditioner, make the room cooler. I'm going to recommend you do quite the opposite. You crank up the air conditioner and then put it to 72 or 74. It's going to dry out that air in that room as best as possible. And then once you get back home and you're all done shooting, I take my gear and I spread it out on the counter, take all the caps off, front and rear caps, and I just let it sit out for 24 hours at least before I go and thoroughly clean it. All the contacts, all the surfaces of the bodies and lenses with pink juice, go through the sensor, and I thoroughly go through it. And knock on wood, I have never had any issue with any of my gear doing this. But I've had one heck of a lot of fun, and the shooting is spectacular. So I'm hope, spring and summer, I'm encouraging you to get out there and hit the beaches, leaving the sand in the dust. You folks have a marvelous week. Get out there and shoot. And remember to make every click your story.